We have Fleur Kilpatrick and Katrina Cornwell, who are with us today, who are co-creating a new work, Whale. Welcome, Fleur. Welcome, Kat.
Hello. It's nice to be here.
Hi. And that was, I think, maybe my favourite segue I've ever had, actually, into an interview. From just like, how good are the Veronicas still over to
welcome, Fleur.
Yeah.
I think, we're happy to keep going on that trajectory. So, Fleur, to start with, could you tell us a little bit about kind of, what led you to this point? You've written and created this new participatory theatre work, Whale. You're the artistic director out at the Monash Academy of Performing Arts.
Don't give it all away. What? She's got to tell something.
I was going to say, where did she start? Well, how did you kind of, get your career started, and how did you end up at these amazing heights?
Well, I feel like I've been doing this a really long time now. I'm 32 and I've actually been writing plays since I was 16. So I feel like a veteran, and yet I'm not that old, but sometimes I feel like a bit of an elder in the community.
So why at 16?
Because I was a bitter teenager and I wanted some teachers at a high school to know how deeply they had hurt me. So I wrote a play about
them.
Psychological scarring.
Fantastic.
And do they get it? Or
I don't know if they ever saw it. But it won a young playwright. It won the State Theatre Company of South Australia's Young Playwright Award. It was very bad. But I guess everyone else wrote worse plays.
Do you still have the text?
Oh, I do.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. This is a fringe show right now. Is like,
we
relive your worst teenage plays.
We pulled it out as a fundraiser at one point a couple of years ago. I know that there is the big revelation is when the teenager is discovered to be taking the illicit substance St. John's Wort. And her mum gets pretty upset about that.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Really hitting the big topics.
Yeah. So that was how I started.
So why didn't you at a school reunion, you're like, handed over to the teachers, the play?
Oh, because I moved to Melbourne and didn't
that,
go to
that
school
was the
reunion.
End, that was the
She's
end of
got
it.
Got too much pride, David. Too much pride.
So
self-respect.
So did you go on to study writing at...
Yes. So I came to Melbourne. I did a theatre degree. I then did postgrad directing. I thought I'd go in more of a directing path, but when I graduated, I discovered I was the cheapest writer I knew. So I just started writing plays for me to direct, and then I worked out I was a better writer than director. I still direct occasionally, so I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
But but writing is definitely what I prefer.
So how hard is it for you to come up with the concept and following it through?
Well, Whale is kind of typical of my writing process in that I think I take about 6 months before I realise I'm writing a play, that there's just kind of this idea bubbling away for a while and like, oh, that's an image that just is sticking around. And with this play, I just had this image of sort of a UN convention room of, delegates from all different nations trying to decide what we were willing to sacrifice to reverse climate change. And since that initial image, I've sort of got more interested in local stuff as opposed to UN, so it's become a town hall meeting. But essentially that image is still at the heart of it, which is a group of delegates. Each audience member is representing a different island. They've been given an island that they are responsible for, and we're here to decide what we will sacrifice. Mm. And it's going to be an island,
yep,
essentially.
We'll come back to and talk about the show.
Okay.
But let's talk to the director. Where did it all start for you?
So, like a lot of people I know, I thought I was going to be an actor when I was younger.
But isn't that a good way to end up being a director?
Through
the process?
Because you know what it's like on the inside.
Yep.
So, as a director, I have the most amount of respect for my actors always, because they have to put themselves through that every night. And I know what it is to get on stage and make an offer. And then as a director, how to work with that offer and shape it into the show. So I actually went to university in Brisbane, and while I was there, I did a lot of physical theatre as a performer. And then as I started to move into being a director, I actually became more interested in contemporary performance or interactive performance and stuff that had a really live element to it and really paid attention to the audience, so that there was a direct relationship between the actors on stage and the audience who was present.
Yep. And what brought you to Melbourne?
I came to Melbourne because my partner came to Melbourne, and I also came to Melbourne to study at VCA. So I did a graduate diploma in community cultural development. Bit of a mouthful.
Right.
And is that part of, you know, what led you to this sort of work around interactivity? Because it's, you know, it's a really interesting form that people are starting to play in, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I love theatre because it's a group of people in a room together listening and talking to each other, and there's a feeling of, like, community in that space. And so that's why I love interactive theatre.
Yep. And how did you meet each other?
Well,
I think just Kat's partner was studying with me at VCA. We were both doing our masters in writing for performance, and just through that. But Kat is one of my favourite artists in Melbourne. I love the work Kat does with Riot Stage. Then in my role as artistic director out at Monash, I commissioned Kat and Morgan to create a piece with our students last year, which had not participation exactly, but some kind of unknown outcomes. The work was called Deathmatch, and they basically, depending on who sort of won in each round of competition, would dictate how the play moved forward. And so having watched Kat do that and handle all the possible outcomes with such control felt like a really logical next step to asking her to direct this piece that I'd started to create.
And how important is it to have the people around you that you've worked with in the past or you want to work with? You know, like, it must be fascinating with the amount of people you're dealing with, and actors, and finding the right actors to pull in to be in a play.
It's really interesting. It's like such a joy to assemble like an army of amazing people that you get to work with, and like it's so great to have a group of artists that you trust. You like, I'm working with Rhea Slavin, who I've worked with a number of times to do sound, and I know her sound is just amazing and layered, and she can do things that I can't even hear. And so it's really great to like have a chat about it and then hand things over, and then she comes back with a world through sound. And then as far as the actors go, Fleur actually wrote two of the actors into the piece.
I like that.
And they're both amazing. And then the third actor, I'd seen her in something and I was like, God, she's good. She's so good. And I just hear her voice. And we pulled her in for the script development last year, and she read it, the first table read, and it was like Fleur had written for her as well.
Yeah.
So everyone is really embedded into the work now.
When you say you wrote the actors into the text, as in you knew exactly the actor and who was going to create the work?
Yeah, and it says, you know, one of the very first paragraphs is like, hi, my name is Sonia Suarez. I'm an actor. I studied theatre at Whopper. There I learned how to lie truthfully whilst projecting my voice. So at times this might all seem very realistic, but don't worry, the oceans aren't really rising. So that's how the play starts, right. And it always had Sonia in there. And
extraordinary.
I love her voice. I can hear her voice incredibly clearly in my ear. And then Sarah Walker, I've collaborated with for 11 years. Sarah is most known as a theatre photographer.
Yeah.
So Sarah Walker is in there being Sarah Walker theatre photographer.
Wow.
So that's been really fun. But in terms of finding people to work with and things, it's a beautiful mix, this one, of sort of people that we know incredibly well, and then the inspiration of new people like Shanella Macri as the other actor has just been such a breath of like of clarity, having her walk in and start performing this role. Kat and I, we've, you know, been very good friends for a long time, but haven't really worked together in this way, so that's also really exciting. So it feels like a mix of new collaborations and old.
Yep.
And this is a work that's interactive in its form. Often you see interactive theatre in, you know, it's devised theatre or it's created in an immersive way. This is a play, right? It's a text. So tell us about that, around, you know, how to create or how you've created interactivity within a text-based play.
Well, I think when I started writing it, I think I thought that I would leave more up for possibilities. I thought I might let people create their own islands and create their own arguments. And then I discovered I am very much a playwright and want to write every single word that is said on that stage. And so then I had to work out how to do that while still making audience members feel really crucial and feel strong and empowered. The overall, where we want people to get to is feeling like they have a voice in this whole thing about climate change. So we had to play a lot. We thanks to winning the Max Zaffert Award with this play last year, we got I got 15 grand just towards the development of this play, which with a work of participatory theatre is so important. And Kat, in our, from day two of the second development, we had test audience members in, and likewise day two of rehearsal. So Kat just is fearless with just like, okay, let's try this on some people, which has been so good because it would be easy to sit in a room and write and talk to yourself and not actually have someone be like, all right, now we just need to hand this to someone that's never seen it before and see what happens.
And most people hate audience participation. Present company included, but you've created a participatory interactive work. How have you done that? Are people given scripts in the performance, or how have you approached that from a
directing there's actually a number of different methods of audience interaction that happen throughout, and there's actually varying levels of participation.
So don't be afraid.
Like, some of the roles are as simple as this. Are you excited? Say yes.
Yes.
That's it. That might be your bit of audience participation. So it's not as scary as some people might be thinking as they walk in the door. There are a couple of key parts that are pretty big. We end up inviting some audience members on stage, and they become characters in the world of the play, and they become integral to the world of the play, and they have their own journey. So I don't want to spoil too much, but with those people, there are different forms and different methods of interaction. But I think that both Fleur and I have been really conscious of not creating one of those shows where the audience members are like look like idiots on stage. That is just not our goal at all, and they're really taken care of and supported and know what they should be doing at all times.
Great. Yeah, and can I just actually get you to, you did roughly explain what it's about, but give us a little bit more in depth of what it's about.
Yeah, sure. So in this world, which is very similar to our world, the politicians have failed us when it comes to climate change.
No, that before.
The scientists have failed us when it comes to climate change. So theatre makers have decided that it's time to act. And so we've created a play, we've created a town hall meeting, and the premise is that through the magic of theatre, we're going to save the world. And so as Fleur was saying,
I believe
before,
it's possible.
It's possible.
I believe it is.
With our imagination, anything is possible. So as Fleur was saying, the audience are enrolled as delegates from islands, and the premise is that we're going to make a sacrifice because that's, we haven't tried that yet, so let's try sacrificing something. And so three audience members are pulled on stage as the final three delegates that we're choosing between. They all have to make speeches saying why their island is important, and then the rest of the audience has to vote to sacrifice one of them. And that's kind of the first half of the play. And then all I'll say is that in the second half, something else unexpected happens and it's not over.
Okay.
And how, you know, because obviously audience participation is a really important aspect of this play and this project. How do you make sure that those roles go to someone that are going to play it well and own it and are going to feel safe? Like, how do you identify that going into when audience members come in?
Yeah, totally. We've had heaps of chats about this. So I was like, what if? But we have developed a system of registration when you get to the foyer. And so there's a series of questions, and then you're given your number. And so based on how you answer those questions, depends on what number you get,
so
depends
it's a pre-screening.
On kind of what
So therefore, there's a little bit of work that's got to be done by you guys before
just a little
before the people, you know, like that's like you're pushing it a little bit for yourself, aren't you?
Yeah,
which is good.
Yeah,
on a nightly basis.
Yeah, definitely, and it's never going to be the same.
Yeah,
because I can't control how those people act, which is just a little bit. Like, it's really interesting, but a little bit scary.
Plus, that's great for ticket sales. If people need to come back time and time again,
you can come
to see the
once.
Work, see how
it's a
evolved.
Different show every time.
It's clever.
So, Fleur, does that worry you, though, that it's not going to be the end result that you wanted?
I have such faith in this team. I've actually got another show on opening next week, and that could be... If you could see me now, maybe hopefully you can hear from my voice. I'm feeling very relaxed for someone with two shows opening in a fortnight. I've barely been able to be in the rehearsal room with these guys, but I just...
That's probably why.
It's not, no, but like if you get all your like favourite theatre makers in Melbourne in one room and you're just like, oh, those guys are working on my play right now. I also have a lot of faith in this script though as well. Like I've what's going on stage is draft 13 of this play. I've done, I think it was draft like 4 that won the award. So it's grown massively since it was not half bad.
Yep.
I talk about the bones of this play a lot, and the bones of this play I think are very solid. So I've been able to do massive changes when new cast members came along and said, oh, this isn't quite working. I'd be like, all right, it's gone. Let's just completely rewrite that. And I've done massive rewrites because the heart of the play and the bones of it have stayed really solid. And I have confidence in those bones still and immense confidence in Kat and the rest of the team as well.
And what's it called?
Whale.
Whale. Talking about bones, and whale is being about the environment and the importance of it.
And is there something about that, the interactivity and its kind of, you know, environmental climate change, you know, apocalypse narrative that, you know, is it about putting the responsibility back on us as audience members, as humans, to take some responsibility ourselves?
Absolutely. And as Australians, I think. I think we're very acutely aware of our Australianness in this room because essentially a lot of the inspiration from this play came from watching Pacific Island leaders come for years to Australia and try and justify why their homelands should continue to exist and why we as Australians, as a privileged first world nation that should be a leader in this region, should be taking action to ensure their continued survival. And instead we didn't. Instead we've pulled out of the like of the Global Climate Fund and we've done all sorts of awful things. So a big part of this is also saying, okay, how about we try what that feels like to have to plead for your home and for the place where your ancestors lived and died as well, and asking Australians to take ownership of our responsibility as well. And really pertinently, this play will actually close on election night, so that feels really relevant to us having been on this journey together and having thought so much about this. And we've had incredible, like, Pacific Island warriors, climate warriors come and talk to us, and whale experts and land loss experts come and talk to us. So we've grown so much by making this play. So it feels
so like how can we find out more about it?
What a good question. So it's on at Northcote Town Hall. So you'd want to go to the Darabin Speakeasy website, and it's on Northcote Town Hall from the 1st to the 11th of May.
Uh-huh.
And then if you're out in southeastern suburbs, it's actually on at Monash at their at MLive's Progress Festival in the brand new Sound Gallery that will be the first theatre show in there.
Brilliant.
And that's on 16th, 17th and 18th of May.
Okay, it sounds fantastic. So social medias, both of you?
We
can find out stuff about you or
there's definitely an event page.
There's an event page. Okay.
So type in Whale by Fleur.
Okay.
And it should come up. I don't think there's another play called Whale by Fleur Kilpatrick.
No. I've got a website, fleurkilpatrick.com, but I think we're not great at the social media.
Oh, okay.
Really.
Yeah, there's work to be done there.
room for improvement. Better guys. Thank you for pointing out our
better at creating theatre than you are on social media.
Look, we're of a certain age.
Well, thanks so much for coming in and all the best with it.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're on Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9.